Moncrief on News Talk.
If you've ever fancied seeing classic films such as Lawrence of Arabia and Ryan's Daughter in their full widescreen glory, the Irish Film Institute is offering you the opportunity to do so. They're holding a two-month, 16-film celebration of the films of David Lean this April and May. And Dr. Ruth Barron is a Professor of Film Studies in Trinity College and joins us now. Ruth, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you, Tom. I'm practicing my smiles.
Good. We'll both work on it together a little bit later on. Prunes is the way forward. There will be a lot of cheesy grins, though, around fans of film with the films of David Lean making it to the IFI, won't there?
Oh, yeah. No, this is a real treat. This is actually really like tucking into a very big box of chocolates because there's such a variety there, as well as being able to see the entire career, you know, unfold as it goes from the, you know, the early films right up through to those widescreen epics that you mentioned. And of course, our very own Ryan's Daughter.
More of that in a moment. But would it be true to say that the films of David Lean are probably one of the huge things about them is their photography?
Yeah, absolutely. They are the black and white ones are the early ones, and people, you know, many people will have seen or perhaps think they saw Brief Encounter, which is a classic black and white film, and it's so beautifully shot. I mean, the photographer was the same photographer as Odd Man Out, say, and so you can kind of imagine really crisp black and white. But then he goes into widescreen and he goes into colour with Bridge on the River Kwai, which came out in 1957, and it's just amazing. And I think perhaps most of all, Lawrence of Arabia and Dr. Zhivago, just that sense of scale in them is incredible.
They're incredible. I look down at the list of films, they really are incredible.
He's a filmmaker's filmmaker, as well as being an audience pleaser. If you were just studying how to make films and you sat down and watched these films, you would have learned so much by the end of it.
Some of the things that you remember when you think about his films are little moments where the photography just absolutely leans out at you. I'm thinking of a moment in Dr. Zhivago where the light kind of catches the eyes in Judy Christie's eyes. That is just mesmerising when you see it.
Mesmerising. And there's a very similar sequence in Lawrence of Arabia. It's another really famous one where Peter O'Toole catches his image in a knife. It's the reflection. And again, it's those moments that are just extraordinary. He really was a master filmmaker.
So a treat, obviously, for those who love old films like that. But will it appeal to the generation that's coming through now who are so used to small screens and have probably, in a world of a three-hour film, probably have a 42-second attention span?
Yeah, you might ask yourself that. But I think that, that's exactly the reason why they'll want to go to this, because they are hooked on anybody who watches their phone, a film on their phone anyway, shouldn't be allowed near a cinema. But if you want to see a film the way it's meant to be seen, this is the way to go and see it. So for that generation who's been watching stuff on small screens, here's the opportunity to see these films. And, if you think about it, Tom, if you've got a load of streamers, however many subscriptions you may have, or even if you don't, if you're just watching terrestrial TV, these films are not coming up. In the past, you used to have whole seasons of somebody's work, but you don't any longer. If you get a film at all, it's surprising. And a lot of the films on the streamers are, pretty poor quality. So this is really an opportunity for the younger generation, I think, to catch up on that real cinema-going experience. And I'd say it'll be busy. They tend to really attract large numbers at the Film Institute for these retrospectives.
Are young people being attracted? Do we know?
It's been the kind of talking point for a while. And I was talking to a few people about this from other countries, and actually from somebody from LA as well. And everybody is saying the same thing. The younger generation wants the event movie. They may not be going to the cinema regularly, but they want that sense of an occasion. This is the only time they can see this film, is by going to the cinema, going with a group, and that whole sense of sitting in a darkened room, lights coming up, and you are totally immersed in that, rather than the kind of, sort of slightly scattergun approach of watching a film at home.
As you're saying all that, I'm being struck that it's really like a gourmet experience, really, isn't it?
I think it is. It's a very, very different. I think we need to kind of slightly change what we think about people going to the cinema, because there's the cinema history and then the cinema present, if you like. Cinema present is struggling. But cinema history is really having a moment because it is just so immersive. And these are, you know, you're seeing the best films as well. Like when you're going to cinema history, so many kind of second rate films have been forgotten about. So the only ones you're getting to see now are the really good ones.
And they're appealing on so many different levels, aren't they? We mentioned the cinematography and the photography. That's stunning. But the sound as well is gorgeous with these things. And it's the way you're supposed, for me, it's the way you're supposed to hear a film, which is surround and a lot of volume.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it should be. I mean, I'm the person who sneaks out to the projectionist and says, "Could you turn the volume up? If I don't think it's loud enough, it should be like great sound." And you know, you're going to get that in the IFI. You're also what you're going to get exceptionally is the ability to see it on a 70 millimeter screen. It's the only screen in the country with 70 millimeter. It's the only cinema with 70 millimeter screen, and that's again the way you should see it. And again, you know, when we're talking about soundtracks, whoa, you'll come out whistling after Bridge on the River Kwai.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%. It's another thing too. I just watched. I think We Dive at Dawn was the name of one I watched over the last few weeks. And a thing you spot in it are actors that you don't really see very often these days, but who are absolute masters. And should you head along to Hobson's Choice, for instance, you'll see Charles Laughton, an actor you just don't see enough of these days.
You don't see enough of him, and he was so great. And you know, he just grabs the eye on the screen. And there's something about him because he's both grotesque and vulnerable at the same time in these films. I'm a big fan of his, and actually, yeah, of his filmmaking, such as it was.
I'm going to give people a little blast of Lawrence of Arabia just to get them in the mood. This is from that movie.
This thing for Faisal?
No. For the English, then?
For the Arabs.
The Arabs. The Hawitat, Ajili, Rala, Beni Sakhar, these I know. I have even heard of the Harith. But the Arabs? What tribe is that?
They're a tribe of slaves. They serve the Turks.
Well, they are nothing to me. My tribe is the Hawitat.
Work only for profit.
Work at Aldo's pleasure.
And Aldo's pleasure is to serve the Turks.
Serve? I serve?
It is the servant who takes money.
Oh, the performances, the writing.
Let's claim Peter O'Toole.
Yes, magnificent. Listen, we did briefly mention Ryan's Daughter. It was one that did get a very harsh reception when it was released, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it actually did well at the box office. The critics hated it. And David Lean had been riding just on one, you know, massive hit after another and Oscar winners. Then he makes Ryan's Daughter, which, you know, comes out in 1970. The story behind the filming of it is perhaps even bigger than the story of what happens on the screen, because notoriously, so it has Robert Mitchum as, you know, this sort of sad, cuckolded schoolmaster, which is again kind of weird because Robert Mitchum was such a matinee idol, even, you know, he was aging a little bit. And then, so he was a serious drinker. So he was heading off into the pubs every night and, you know, had to be hauled out for filming. Right. Then there's Sarah Miles, who plays, the Irish woman who's the kind of Madame Bovary. It's based on Madame Bovary of the story. She believed that she would live forever if she drank her pee every day. So she was off doing that. And everybody's just, they're just going crazy on this set, which was built specially for the film in Kerry and unfortunately was knocked down afterwards. But people hated it because it just seemed like the casting seemed wrong. Quite likely was. The story seemed kind of, I think by 1970, where cinema had really fundamentally changed and you've got, you know, the whole sort of new Hollywood thing started, it seemed old-fashioned. It's set in the past, it's set in the aftermath of the 1916 Rising. But it just, everything about that film people hated to the extent that, you know, David Lean didn't understand it. So he got the film critics to sit down in a room with him for an hour in New York and explain to him why they didn't like it. And they did so one after the other. And he was so shattered. And in fact, his stock had fallen so much. He didn't make another film for 13 years until he eventually comes back with Passage to India.
And what a comeback.
What a comeback, yeah.
What a thing to do. What a thing to sit your critics down and listen to their worst.
I know. You know, I actually review films. Nobody listens to a word I say. So things have changed.
I don't know about that. I have to say, it sounds like an amazing season, and there's such...
It's fantastic. It's a great opportunity. It really is.
It's a joy to behold. Ruth, thank you very much for joining us today.
Pleasure talking to you.
Dr. Cheers. Ruth Barton there, Professor of Film Studies at Trinity College. And those films are running throughout April and May. There are so many amazing ones. The Sound Barrier, The Bridge in the River Kwai. It goes on and on. Ryan's Daughter, Dr. Zhivago. Something absolutely for everyone.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.